You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
I rarely get just hounded on the air or on the internet like I did yesterday morning throughout the day to the point where I'm like, man, I got to put the phone away here. I got other things I got to do. I never thought that this would happen in my entire life to what happened yesterday, where all I wanted you to do was have a good time and make the best of not a great situation, an inconvenient situation. Ross Bjork, where we went over some of the changes that he wants to make. Daryl Ryder coming up at 8:22. Ross Bjork, the AD of Ohio State, he wants to make some changes and add some things. And what he's trying to do is really make the best of a not-so-great situation with Ohio State himself, where they want to put Hang On Sloopy at just about any time they want to.
Organically.
Organically, yeah.
That was perfectly dropped in there. Not too much.
They will have a the towel that they will give away to several thousand people against Texas. Then you got to buy the towel.
About the digital leaves, the Buckeye leaves.
They have the digital leaves that you can get, and they have a new song by this band called Camp. Yeah. Several A's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to play this at the stadium, and it sounds like Lumineers. Yeah, this is it. This is the song. Like, this is a commercial for Ohio tourism. This isn't a football stadium.
You can see them showing a bunch of the barns with the bicentennial logo on it.
Yes. Yes, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Riding around in a convertible down the rural part of 77. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Because that's where all the tourism is in Ohio. They always do that. And I'm like, all right, maybe Hocking Hills. But outside of that, I'm pretty sure the concentration of people that are coming into Ohio are not going to the Carrollton, Ohio.
You have no idea Wapakoneta. How many people are seeing Werther's carvings, buddy. You have no effing clue.
License plates from every state in Millersburg.
The Abe Lincoln funeral train draws a lot of people. That thing is really, really cool. I've seen it myself. I only at the time lived 45 minutes away as a child. Still. So, yeah, Ross Bjork wants to do this stuff. And I'm just like, guys, you know what? The television deal ain't ending anytime soon. You guys signed on the dotted line. Kevin Warren signed it on the dotted line. That's all they wanted him to do. I don't know if they looked for the devil in any of the details when they made this agreement between Peacock, Fox, and CBS for Big Ten football. You are the anchor store of the Big Ten as Ohio State and Ohio State fans. And so the money that they spend on the most money that they spend on their biggest time slot, those are the games you're going to play in. You don't want to play on Friday night? Fine. You only play on a couple of Friday nights compared to other Big Ten schools. Like Washington just joined. They're on like four Friday night games, it seems, this year.
We don't want that. We don't want Ohio State on Friday nights.
Ohio State doesn't want that. They could play at other dates. They don't want that. Ryan Glassbiegel, who got a hold of my tweet, he pointed that out. So guess what? You get stuck at noon because you're the major property. And Ross Bjork told people in no uncertain terms earlier this week that Yeah, that Penn State game coming up in November, that's probably going to be a high noon game too. And or excuse me, a big noon kickoff game too. And people were upset. And all I suggested was, guys, this TV deal ain't ending anytime soon. You might as well make the best of a not-so-great situation and own it. Make it your own, because it ain't going away until like at least like 2029 or something like that. Like, it's not going to happen anytime soon. Here's Ross on the situation.
Now, you also plan to do a blackout game versus Penn State. Does that mean it'll be a night game?
I think we know.
You're sighing.
I think we know the Buckeyes drive big noon kickoff. That'll be a high-powered game. So I think we probably know what's going to happen around game time for that one.
It'll be at noon. It won't be at night.
They love the Buckeyes.
Okay.
And big noon is a big deal, right? They've invested in that time slot. So I think we'll presume it's a big noon. It's a 12 noon kickoff.
And you're going to have everyone wear black?
We are.
All right.
I agree with all you folks. I mean, every single one of you, where it's silly to have a blackout at noon. It is very silly. This is the deal your school signed. They're the anchor. They're making money. And that's all I said. I said, you guys might as well make the best of a bad situation because it ain't going to change anytime soon. And I mean, I got cussed out like I haven't been cussed out in a long time. I've been cussed out like that by somebody who I haven't been sleeping with. I mean, it's unbelievable getting cussed out like that. And I was getting called a corporate sellout. And I go, no, I'm not a sellout. I buy in. But I'm just telling you, your favorite school is the quote-unquote sellout here. Ohio State agreed to all this. Well, we need to have a boycott. If you want to occupy college football, you can try Dartmouth and you can try Northwestern. It ain't going to happen with Ohio State. Ohio State's the Warren Buffett of college football. And they know, because football is the one sport where we're on their time, not the other way around, they'll play it anytime they want. If they think that spot makes money, they'll play it and they know you'll be there. So it's an inconvenience. So you got to wake up early. They'll say, boo, effing who. We have billions of dollars that we're jamming down your program's throat.
Who's more powerful here? The network, which is dictating the time, that does pay all the money, or the actual program?
You would think it's the program.
You would think it's the conference. But they also took the money. So the directive is going to come from the network. And I'd say, though, too, like, I know Urban Meyer talked about constantly how he wanted the in-game stuff to be better at Ohio State. And they did. They did a lot more stuff, especially with the intros. But he had talked a little bit about the wine and cheese crowd, even though he relied on the wine and cheese crowd for the money. It's like you want the money from the boosters, and then you don't want them there at the actual game. Mm-hmm. It's a tough kind of thing to navigate. At the same time, I do think the coaches, I think they prefer the noon games. I don't think they want the players and their habits, their routines disrupted.
Waiting around all day.
And, you know, you're at the hotel, you're going through walkthroughs, you're trying to figure out the day. It's a long, long day. Plus, not to mention, and I know that most fans won't care about this, but if you've ever been on campus for an 8 o'clock game, 8:15 kickoff, and then you see what happens to a crowd or a fan base or a campus progressively throughout the day, and how ugly any campus can get, especially Ohio State with their fan bases, especially during a rivalry game, what that's like. And then everyone's got to go home. Everyone's got to drive home. I don't think they want that.
I really don't think they want so either, but I don't think that the Big Ten or the television corporations are thinking about that. The television providers are thinking about that.
No, Fox just wants to maximize a time slot where they're not competing with NBC, ESPN, ESPN2, Fox.
CBS has their time. ESPN has
Fox
their
Sports,
time.
You know, they got it all over the Big Ten Network has a game at primetime.
NBC wants to put on Peacock, and so they have invested heavily in Big Noon Kickoff. You are their major carrier, and they know that you're not going to not watch. You're not going to boycott Ohio State. You're going to watch Ohio State games, and they know that. They know it. So you will change your schedule around to watch Ohio State and pay off that freight for the advertisers so they can get the revenue dollars so Ohio State can reap the rewards, because it's a mutually beneficial deal. And I did have some people who, not cussing me out, who brought up some very good points. And my answer to it was, for the most part, yeah, but it's business. It's their business. I'm not saying it's convenient. It's not. I'm not saying it's fun. I don't think noon games, noon games are reserved for MAC schools against Big Ten beginning of the year or lower rung or middle tier Big Ten games, SEC games. That's what those are for. Not for Ohio State, Texas. It seems funny and it seems misplaced. Totally agree with you guys. But that's the business that they've chosen, and they want it in that time slot because that's what they've invested in so heavily. And I did get somebody, I forget the name of him, it was back, but it was a nice back and forth on it, where, well, why did Ross Bjork try to get the game moved? And my first thought was, did he? Or was it performative?
Right, that's what I wonder.
For the same reason as why there's politicians who are in downtown Cleveland pounding the table, yelling at the Browns, when they really didn't come up with a plan to keep the Browns. But they have to get reelected. It's performative. It's the same reason why who was the state senator who wanted to pass legislation about no noon games? Because they want their constituency to see that. It's easy publicity. It's easy, hey, I'm on your side with it. But, I mean, they're a friend of business, just like every single politician is. And if any one of these businesses, including Ohio State football, told him to shut the hell up, he'd shut the hell up. It's the same thing. So, hey, it's not a good situation, and I wish it was a little bit more flexible because I agree with you guys. There's two big games that should be on really at noon in college football. Red River Rivalry, which I used to be able to call it something else. Red River Rivalry and the game. Those are the noon games.
Okay, what I want to know is how many
nights. This is a big game. It should not be at noon.
Just from Ohio State fans, and you could tweet us because I know we're going to be moving on, but like, how many night games do you want? You don't want every game being at night, do you? I mean, that gets exhausted. When Urban first came here, there were a lot of night games. I remember I was doing post-game show statewide, and it was very late. Those games are going 4 hours, and I'm just telling you, people drive back home from all over the state. And you don't get out of that place, especially with the traffic jam. Like, do you really want all those night games? And maybe if you're never going, maybe you're just sitting at home and you're drinking. But
well, you want a couple of night games, but you do want night games that matter. OU on Peacock,
I agree,
does not matter as much as Texas. But they know, like, hey, a lot of people are going to be gone by the third quarter. It's not going to be that crazy of a situation. And Peacock gets their primetime game because they know they have Ohio State fans watching. And you will sit there and you will watch the game. And you'll probably just sit there because it's nighttime and watch the entire game instead of going out and doing yard work. Here comes Daryl Ratton. Brought to you by Shivin Jewelers.
Daryl?
Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Daryl?
Morning, guys. I'm not
getting.
I'm not singing along.
Daryl?
In the morning.
Can we get a dog check? It's game day. Let's go.
Oh, my God.
Let's go.
Come on, Daryl.
Yes!
Come on, get excited. Come on, you miserable bastard. Get excited. Let's go. Oh, what, Daryl.
Looking forward to watching Shador today.
Oh, God.
Get out of here.
You're just a walking fart. That's all you are. I swear to God. Oh, Mr. Journalism. All right, fine.
I am. I'm looking forward to watching Shador tonight. I'm excited about that. Looking forward to watching Carson Schlesinger.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, wait.
You were looking forward to watching Carson Schlesinger, are you?
Yeah. He's had a great camp. People love him.
Okay.
Harold Fannin Jr. having a great camp. People
Daryl,
love him. Can't
Mr.
wait to see him.
Mr. Football. What have you thought of the rhetoric surrounding Shador Sanders these last 2 weeks?
It's been pretty ridiculous. Nationally,
fine. If you want to call me ridiculous, that's okay. I called myself ridiculous at 6 a.m. this morning for something I said yesterday.
These people that want to act like that the Browns traded up to get this kid only so they could just sabotage him. Like, I've heard a lot of really dumb things. I mean, I do cover the Browns, but like, that is the dumbest, most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. They can't comprehend that maybe their favorite player might have a little work that he needs to do before he can be in the position that ultimately everyone wants him to be in, and that's to be the starting quarterback of this football team. He's starting tonight because, well, there's a lack of availability from the rest of the quarterback room. They never really intended to draft him in the first place. They never really intended to draft him in April, but yet here we are. So, you know, it's an opportunity for Shador to go out there tonight and make the most of it. Show himself, show the Browns that he's further along than everyone believes him to be. And, you know, give the Browns reason to reevaluate their quarterback processes. So, I am looking forward to seeing what he's able to do tonight and how he's able to operate the offense. Can he get him up and down the field? Can it be a smooth operation? Can he put some points on the board? Can he make some big plays? Can we see what we saw at Colorado with the explosive playmaking ability? All those things. I'm very curious as to where he's at in all of that.
Well, Darryl, I had to explain it like this because I was like, man, like if he goes out there and he doesn't do well and he didn't get any time with the ones, you know, do right. I get upset with Kevin Stefanski? And, you know, Lima said he got a text from somebody in the NFL over that comment, and Albert Breer was questioning the comment, and I said, well, you know what? I will admit I'm willing to skip. I was thinking about skipping steps in this effort to dig us out of this hole that we've created for ourselves with the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
And it's a big, big hole. Mm-hmm. And so I find myself hoping here, but I'm like, yeah, damn it, I am. I just found out from Archie Manning that his grandson ain't going to go through the draft, which we already thought he wasn't going to go in the draft.
Yeah, but Jimmy told us that last week.
But immediately when he said that news came out from On3 yesterday, we started getting tweets and calls. You know why this is? Because of the Browns. You guys know why this is? Because of the Browns. And it's like, all right, so I take this guy off the board, and then I got these other guys that I'll say Drew Aller and a bunch of people will call me up and cuss me out. I'll say Lenore Sellers. No one knows who the hell he is because he plays for South Carolina. I'll say a bunch of other names and nobody knows who they are. I trust either of those guys. So now I go, why can't it happen for us? Why can't we get the fifth round pick that falls to us? And you know what? For that matter, that sounds crazy, but I also get upset with those going, well, Ken, you got to treat him like a fifth round pick. Do I? Mel Kiper was the one crying over him. He doesn't cry over other fifth round picks. I had other people pounding the table. Lewis Riddick. How much is Lewis Riddick taking up for former fifth round picks? How much? But Shador Sanders, damn. Can't say enough about him. So I can't just treat him like a regular fifth-round pick.
Well, the Browns aren't treating Dylan Gabriel like a third-round pick.
Ooh, Daryl Reuter with the
dagger. Tell me more. How are they treating him?
They're treating him like a first-round pick. There are practices with a full, healthy quarterback room where he's first up in 11-on-11. And that's not just training camp. That's going back to minicamp. That's going back to OTAs. So that's why I've been so harsh on him. I'm evaluating him the way the organization is treating him. And that is a legitimate player, not a development player, but a legitimate player to play for this football team this year. So that's why I'm so harsh with him. He's not good. He's not an NFL quarterback right now. Maybe he will be someday. But right now, he's not. And I don't care if he can draw the playbook frontwards, backwards, on the whiteboard in a blink of an eye. I don't care. He can't play on the field, which is the requirement of the job. Now, if I could take Shador Sanders and Dylan Gabriel and put them together, well, maybe have a little something-something there all of a sudden coming out of the gate as a rookie. But neither one of these kids is ready to play, but the organization's treating one like he is ready to play, and they're treating the other one like he's, you know, light years away from being able to play. So, yeah, you know, that's why I have been speaking in the tone and terms that I have when it comes to these quarterbacks. It should be Joe Flacco week one. And, you know, then if circumstances dictate, then you go to Kenny Pickett, and circumstances dictate, then you go to Dylan Gabriel. But, you know, as I said earlier, guys, they never intended to draft Shador Sanders. They never intended to have him start the preseason opener, yet here we are. And unfortunately, when you talk about the Browns, to your point, Ken, about why can't it happen here, well, every time the Browns have a quarterback plan, there's always something that gets in their way, whether it's themselves or whether it's circumstances like injuries and things like that, where they're always forced to deviate from the plan, even when they're doing their darndest to stay on the tracks with the plan. So, and we didn't even get to the first preseason game where they had to deviate from the quarterback plan. You know, they got six guys in the room and two available tonight. But that's just the way it's gone. But I'm also of the belief that they're...
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Best hope of finding that quarterback is to fall into it. Because I can't see any other way. They've tried, since 99, Kent, they've tried every route possible. They've tried the veteran, they've tried the washed up veteran, they've tried the first overall pick, they've tried first round picks, they've tried third, fourth, fifth, sixth, they've tried everything in the arsenal to come up with a quarterback. They've traded up for him, right? It hasn't worked. So the only thing that's left is what you just said. Why can't they just fall into somebody? And maybe they will, maybe they won't, but that's where we're at.
In a weird way, can I tell you how disappointed I am to not be able to see Dylan Gabriel tonight? And I might be actually more disappointed that I'm not seeing him than I am excited to see Shedeur Sanders. And let me tell you this why. And this is definitely mental gymnastics to some level, I will admit. But I think that my trust, I mean, Dylan Gabriel was a jaw-dropping pick in the third round. You have not had anything nice to say about the guy professionally,
right?
As a quarterback,
I mean, great kid.
Yeah, so you haven't had anything nice to say about the guy professionally. Not a lot of other people have. I mean, Zach has been saying like this guy, he ain't got it. A lot of writers have been saying he ain't got it, and I'm thinking my trust in their evaluation wasn't that great to begin with, and it's as shaken as it's ever been. And I'm like, man. This would have been at least an opportunity for him to go out there and look good and at least go, okay, they at least kind of know what they're looking at.
Right.
And now you don't even get that chance. Because I'll tell you what, if Shedeur goes out there and he looks good, you know the conversation with the fan base on Monday. Why are we even wasting time with the other guy?
He
took the other guy in the third round.
You're right. Yep.
And I know it's different conversations between us and the building, but that's still going to make next week even more dramatic, and the week after that, even more dramatic after that, Daryl.
100%. Like I said, this is a golden opportunity for Shedeur tonight. And I'm not trying to put pressure on him, but it is, right? I mean, he has not gotten a lot of opportunities. He's having to do most of his work before practice, after practice. That's what led to the shoulder soreness, the starting and the stopping and all that kind of thing, right? This is the best opportunity with this organization since being drafted he's had. And so it's on him to make the most of it, right? And to show Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry and Tommy Rees and everybody else on the coaching staff and the folks in the locker room, hey, I can do this. You know, not perfect, not a finished product, but I can do this. So great opportunity for him tonight. And you know what? I agree with you with the Dylan Gabriel thing. Absolutely. Having him in live game situations as opposed to the practice and getting to see just where he's at as well, yeah, that's a big loss for the Browns tonight. No question about it.
All right, Daryl, if Shedeur balls out, we know he'll be the talk of the national media.
Yep.
Leading up over the weekend and into Monday.
They'll all be in Philadelphia next week to watch him against the Eagles.
Yes, they will. What does it actually do to that quarterback room?
I kind of feel like the Browns are firm in their convictions with a lot of things. And that's in ways, Anthony, that's a great thing, but also in ways it's not the best thing, if that makes sense. I don't think if he just absolutely goes scorched earth tonight, then they have no other choice but to give it an honest look and evaluation. But it depends if he goes scorched earth in the context of what Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees want offensively. You know, if he goes scorched earth because he's, you know, he's doing the Jonathan Moxon and just making stuff up as he goes along, you know, I don't know that that helps his case a whole lot. But if he goes out there tonight and
I'll be his Billy Bob.
Yeah. But if he goes out there tonight and we need Miss Davis. Anyway, if he goes out there tonight and he is able to run this offense efficiently and run it in the manner that Kevin's looking for it to be run, and he's able to move it and put points on the board and that, yeah, I would agree. Yeah, we know what the conversation is going to be, but the organization then has to kind of take a look at where he's at and say, maybe we should shake up this depth chart. Maybe he shouldn't be the fourth quarterback on said depth chart.
All right, no, Judy is not playing tonight, but why right. Tillman? And by watching Ja'Marr Chase play yesterday, do you think it's making the Browns think that, hey, maybe we do need to get some starters in there?
Well, they're going to get these guys in, and next week is going to be important, obviously, going against Philadelphia. And Kevin Stefanski's very big on getting starter reps in the preseason in controlled practices. That's his philosophy. And so this is not groundbreaking territory. Again, the outrage online never ceases to amaze me. People clearly haven't been paying attention to the last five training camps under Kevin Stefanski. This is what he does, is he doesn't play his key guys a whole lot in the preseason. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's different philosophies. We're seeing teams play their starters, and you know, we're seeing teams that don't. We're seeing starters get hurt and suffer season-ending injuries, whether it's in camp or in preseason games. It's unfortunate, but you know, that's just the attrition that is the National Football League. So I don't understand why people are all shocked and awed because you know, it came out that Kevin is sitting all the important players tonight. I don't know that I would consider Cedric Tillman a bona fide starter right now, but when you look at that wide receiver room, well, yeah, it's kind of hard not to say he probably should be compared to what's in there.
Do you think we're getting closer to seeing Quinshon Judkins or further away?
I have no idea at this point.
I have to ask.
No, I know you do, and I wish I had an answer for you. I'm not a lawyer.
The reason I ask everybody is because Daryl did post the court document from Broward County yesterday where Quinshon Judkins waived his right to a speedy trial. Right. Just for people just tuning in, Daryl posted that yesterday. Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, and it's unfair for me to speculate as to the motives and what the lawyers think, and because I have no knowledge of what they're thinking. It could mean that either they're trying to get this thing pled out and settled and taken care of before it even sees a courtroom, similar to what happened last year with Mike Hall Jr. Or it could mean that he is going to defend himself to the fullest extent, and this may not see a courtroom till early 2026. And I don't know how the NFL's approaching this. I can't imagine the NFL wants to hand down a punishment when a legal case has not been resolved, because you could taint that process if you decide to punish him. Because then the prosecutions, they see, even the NFL said he did something wrong here. So I don't know. Any answer you're looking for, Ken, would be speculation. And that, unfortunately, it's just not fair to this process. We have to sit back and let it play out.
You can't do that. Now, Daryl, I know you are the Browns beat reporter, but you're also our Cleveland sports insider. I want to ask your opinion on something here. The Guardians have turned it around to a great level, a great sweep of the Mets. They're right there in the thick of things in the wild card spot, only a game and a half out. They're now six games back, only six, of the AL Central, which seems like still a lot, but considering where they were before, it's remarkable. Can we thank Stephen Kwan for the turnaround? Stephen Kwan still being here.
I think that's part of it. I was against them even considering making that trade, at least during this season. I realize come the wintertime, they may have to seriously consider it. But considering everything that has transpired to this point, 10-game losing streak, you got two pitchers that can't pitch because they're under a gambling investigation. I'm pleasantly surprised that they are in the position that they're in. I said on my show a couple of weeks ago, I did believe they were going to win a wild card spot. I wasn't confident they're going to actually catch the Tigers, but I do believe they're going to win a wild card spot. And, you know, they'll be able to say, hey, look at us. We made the playoffs again. I called that shot a couple weeks ago.
A team that was dead and buried are now going to have an October to remember.
Much different tone you have, Daryl, today than when you filled in for the guys a couple weeks ago.
Oh, what did he say?
I know.
Told your ass, Daryl.
The winds tend to change. Oh, listen. You mean to tell me those two guys sitting in those chairs have never changed their opinions on anything?
I'll save a seat for you over here in Playoffville.
I mean, really? Those guys have never changed an opinion ever?
Oh, no. I hate these guys, too.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I respect your consistency, Owen. I do respect that.
Daryl, I'll see you in hell.
All right. Meet you there.
Daryl Rutter. I know you want to get to that snippet by Daryl. It's a hell of a... Daryl's saying they're treating Dylan Gabriel like a first rounder is... That's some strong conversation right there. I want you to find something for me, though. Can you go back to those numbers you gave with the passing yards for a moment?
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
The quarterbacks, or not the passing yards, the passing attempts from those quarterbacks there that you gave me.
Yeah, because
yesterday.
We were talking about that because, man, we got into a heated spat. And Kenny, I just want to say it's a Friday. We got it coming in hot today.
We got a Browns game day.
We're on the same page.
Your life any day.
For all the people arguing about Shador and Dylan Gabriel.
I do it at
Gabriel.
Your own kid's christening, except I'm not the godfather of either one.
We'll get you to one of the Lima events.
Jim deserves it.
Or maybe a Mary Kay Cabot event or, you know, any event whatsoever.
You know, I got kids.
Andy Roth going away party event. We'll get you to something.
Oh, I didn't go to that either, did
no.
I? No. I don't do goodbyes very well. Go ahead.
The hellos you're good at. You're great at doing the hellos,
man.
Nobody does a hello like that.
Make anyway, a great hello.
We are not going to get in spats today because we've got a football game. So
well, I'm going to get in a spat with you. So I'm trying to egg you on into a spat. Right, so damn it, give me the numbers.
So here are some of the quarterbacks of preseason yesteryear. And their passing attempts. And again, remember, this isn't for a full game. Most of these are just, they got a couple quarters.
Mm-hmm.
DTR, 18 attempts, 17 attempts, 20 attempts, 25 attempts. So in four different games. Huntley, 20, 22 in another one. Mond, 24. Dobbs, 20, 20. Rosen, 20. Brissett, 23. Keenum, 17 and 19. And Lauletta, 23, 23, 22. How many for Shador tonight? Can we get you on record?
Well,
a prediction.
Your answer to that was because I'm like, man, they got to take care of him. They didn't give him any first team reps. They got to take care of him. I would limit it. And you go, whoa, what do you want from him, Ken? What do you? I go, I want him to conduct the offense. Oh, just hand the ball, turn around, hand the ball off. I go, I'd like him to hand the ball off more than that. And then he gave me all these numbers. However, I question, I go, jokingly, I go, what's the yards per attempt? What's the yards per attempt? Ask and I shall receive.
You did it.
I
you
got an anonymous source.
Oh boy.
That rhymes with Meef Litton, who sent me the yards per attempt in the preseason for those quarterbacks. Are you ready for the yards per attempt on these quarterbacks?
Yes, let's go.
Might need the yodeler for this one because I kind of want you to guess who had the highest yards per attempt.
Ooh, that's a good one.
The lowest yards per attempt, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. in 2024, 3.7 yards per attempt.
Check down Charlie.
That's Streetsboro youth football numbers.
3 yards? That's
actually
hard to do.
Actually, we would probably try to launch it a little further.
How many wide receiver screens is he throwing?
That's an insult to poor Streetsboro youth football here. Number two is Kellen Mond. See, you can't even get the name right. 5.3 yards per attempt. Josh Rosen. He was 5.6 yards per attempt. Chase LaLetta. Kyle LaLetta. 7.1 yards per attempt. Not going to be playing here anymore. And then
ball cannons down the field from LaLetta.
And then it's somehow number one. 2023 Dorian Thompson Robinson.
All right.
7.6 yards per attempt, where Leaf Mitten writes, really launching it downfield there. Mm. LOL. Good point.
So we're saying a lot of attempts, but not a lot of heavy lifting.
No. So a lot of attempts, but you're not doing the oop-de-oop offense. We were just referencing Varsity Blues.
So a lot of those, I mean, those are probably running plays, basically. How they like to talk about, hey, a lot of our passing game operates the same way as a running game.
Yeah.
So you should be doing it, Champions Pose.
You call me a certified football guy need to do Champions Pose?
You also
over these
had
things?
One of your analysts do the work for you.
That's what a head coach would do.
Yes, delegates.
You know, what do you think Nick Saban used to do with all those fired head coaches they used to join? They would analyze. You are an analyst. You will analyze.
All right, so give me an attempt. Let's go around the room.
Can't be a head coach. Can't be an actual coach because you're getting that payoff.
Mitch, Owen, Ken, let's go around the room. I'll weigh into how many pass attempts tonight from Shador Sanders in tonight's preseason game. Mitch, we'll start out with you.
I'm going to go 15.
Okay. Owen?
12.
You got to get those numbers up.
12. 12.
Hit my chest.
I'm gonna give my number. I'm going to say Shador tonight, 20. We're going to get 20 passes from Shador Sanders, and Kenny will round it out.
I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say 21.
You know what, Albert Breer.
I'm saying 20.
So abandoning the run. in a half of football.
50 plays. He said 50 plays, yeah, 21 50 plays. Passes.
No, that's 50 plays and a half between both teams. There aren't 50 offensive plays and a half. There's no way.
Okay, you know what?
I think he's going to sustain some drives.
12. Then 12.
I said 12. Now you're just a copycat.
Well, I was under a different assumption there because I was reading some because I was trying to look up what Lima
Stop
had written.
Reading. It hasn't worked for you before. It's not going
to
work for
with
you.
With apologies to Albert Breer, who took his shots yesterday at not just us, but I think Cleveland in general. Who can break down?
I need Albert to answer me which one of those other quarterbacks he mentioned did people cry on national media.
Who in the world can break down preseason pass attempt hypotheticals?
I love how you're trying to get me angry at Albert Breer.
This show, because folks, we got a game tonight. We got a preseason game, but the biggest game in Shador Sanders'
don't
life.
Don't lose focus.
It's the biggest game of his life.
Don't you dare let Albert Breer distract me.
You can shut the door.
That we have a game tonight.
Sorry.
The door ain't closing over there, and you're screaming.
Hey, doors are opening tonight for Shador Sanders.
Yes. You're gonna scare Alyssa down the hallway.
Is it the coming out party for Shador Sanders? Daryl said Dylan Gabriel has been treated like a first-round quarterback. Yeah. How are they going to treat Shador after tonight?
Play it over the music.
The Daryl Ryder?
Yes.
The Browns aren't treating Dylan Gabriel like a third-round pick.
Ooh, Daryl Ryder with the
tell
dagger.
Me more. How are they treating him?
They're treating him like a first-round pick. There are practices with a full, healthy quarterback room where he's first up in 11-on-11. And that's not just training camp. That's going back to minicamp. That's going back to OTAs. So that's why I've been so harsh on him. I'm evaluating him the way the organization is treating him.
Well, they're treating him like a franchise guy. He ain't playing tonight.
Well, let's see what happens.
Well, then you asked him, Anthony, what about if Shador does good?
All right, Daryl, if Shador balls out, what does it actually do to that quarterback room?
I kind of feel like the Browns are firm in their convictions with a lot of things. And That's a, in ways, Anthony, that's a great thing, but also in ways it's not the best thing, if that makes sense. If he just absolutely goes scorched earth tonight, then they have no other choice but to give it an honest look. But it depends if he goes scorched earth in the context of what Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees want offensively.
Scorched earth.
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 Scorched
earth.
Scorched earth. Scorched earth.
Can't yell. You know I'm going to lose my voice. Super Browns.
Super Browns.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, game.
Your voice make it through there?
Got pregame.
Yeah, football game. Football game tonight.
Goddamn football game tonight. Got an effing football game tonight, folks. There's football going on. Let's go.
Second half.
Michael would have said it.
You're right.
Not on the radio. He would have said it to us.
He would have said it once.
What would Michael say about all this right now? What would he say out in the hallway?
I had to say.
He'd be making jokes about how loud I got with you earlier this week.
There is not a show, there is not a station in the country that has done a more responsible job breaking down a preseason game, number one, like we have, with a four quarterback horse race going on.
I was going to say, if we're the most responsible, then my opinion of sports talk radio outside of this city, it just hit the bleeps, because that's ridiculous.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Eniade.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.